Zechariah in the Old Testament. First, in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. And what these passages have in common is speaking of the reality of gifts from the Lord. Gifts, the good gifts, and where they come from. And we'll be looking primarily at prayer as a gift. In Zechariah, we see this very clearly as the Lord giving us the spirit of grace and supplication. So first, in James chapter 1, and in finding Zechariah, an easy key is it is just before Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. James 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Thus far in James, and now we turn to Zechariah, one book of the smaller prophets just before Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah 12, we'll be reading verses 10 through 14. Zechariah 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadadrimmon in the valley of Megiddon, and the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. Verse 1 also of chapter 13. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Amen. May God bless the reading of his own precious and true word. First then, to open God's word in the book of Joel, the letter of James, James chapter 1, and also have your marker on Zechariah 12. I'll be reading the two verses that I'm hoping to focus this afternoon. First, it is James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights. And then in Zechariah 12, verse 10, the promise, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. He will pour down, which means he will give, the spirit of grace and of supplication. And supplication is one of the ways by which we pray, the element of petition put into the highest form a petition that is actually a pleading. And so we have before us a theme of prayer as a gift. And what we're doing this afternoon, we're pausing for a moment our sequence in the Gospel of Luke, because very often, almost every month, I mean to do this on the Sunday before our prayer service, to have a sermon regarding prayer, to even prepare our hearts and to motivate us to be here for the time of prayer. Now, those who are able to be here, I do believe from time to time an encouragement that we would be spurring one another to pray. And I've been meaning to do that on a Sunday, and I thought as we are arriving in our studies, in our prayer services, in regards to the very theme of prayer being a gift, we were arriving to an end, and I thought instead of summarizing it all at the prayer service, I will do that summary on Sunday. And we have been looking at this very principle, that the very essence of prayer, and what I mean by this, as we'll elaborate more, is that it is a gift that God has given to us. That's what prayer is when we look at it in a more general way and seeing what is prayer. It is something that came from God, a gift from Him to you. And we'll see what you do with this gift, but we'll also look at the contents of prayer. Boys and girls, think of prayer, first of all, as a box then that is a present, so it would have a beautiful wrapping paper that you would receive, and you know you receive that, you look at that box, you see that it's a gift, but then you don't just get that box and you put it in your shelf, or you play with that box as if it were the present itself. You open the box and you find in it certain contents, and it might be something like a ball, and it is one thing, but there's always many things you do with that gift. Or it can be a gift full of different parts that you put together. And when we think of prayer as this gift, you do open prayer and you find elements in prayer. And what I mean by that is the different parts of prayer, such as petition and confession and praise. And that's what we'll see in our second point. In our prayer services, we have dealt with three of them, and we are about to deal with the fourth, and that's what we'll do today, putting them all together. And then thirdly, we'll look at the giver. If the gift, as precious as it is not the focus of everything. And isn't that true? Even in our relationships with each other, when a loved one gives you a gift, the focus of your life should not be that gift, but the giver of that gift, in terms of how you relate with that gift. It's not that now you use that gift and it's your whole life focused on that gift. No, you look to the giver and you give him thanks for that gift. You relate to the giver of the gift. You think in terms which is always our tensions, right? You receive a gift, immediately you're thinking, what can I give back? What can I say? What card should I write? What should I put in my card? And you're wanting to relate to the giver. And so that's what we hope to do in our third point, focus upon the giver of the gift. So first, the essence of prayer. And I've already mentioned, okay, you look at prayer and you see it's a gift. It is a gift that God has given you. And what are you to do with this gift? Like, every gift, every toy you receive, it has a major purpose. Even if it is just for decoration, well, that is a purpose. If it is to go and play a game, will you go and play that game? Every gift has a purpose. And what is the purpose of prayer? It is to communicate with God in a very simple way. It is the gift of communication. And if communication, then it is the gift of communion. You would communicate with God to relate with Him and have a closeness to Him. Now, let me read a little definition that Isaac Watts gives in his little book, A Guide to Prayer. He adds one element to it that this gift will bless. He says, the ability that prayer is, the ability to suit our thoughts to all the various parts and designs of this duty. When he says parts, he's meaning the petition, the gratitude, the praise, etc., and a readiness to express those thoughts before God in the fittest manner, to profit our own souls as well as the souls of others that join with us. And the reason I love this quote is it is the intention that I'm having in my heart, that we would think not only prayer in our private life, you can apply everything we're doing to your private prayers, but primarily I want you to apply it to public prayer. And even that in your home, when you pray as a family and you hear one another, and when you pray in the congregation as we come for a prayer service and we have brothers who come and bring their petitions, the requests that were asked for, and even some that may not have been asked for, but you come and you call upon the Lord and all of us are listening, there is this reality and even this benefit and even this purpose, like he says, that our own souls would profit and the souls of others that join with us. This is part of what it means to pray corporately. You might come to a prayer service where you're afflicted and your faith is not doing well, and you think, well, today maybe I won't pray, but then you hear a brother praying and you see his vigor and you see his joy and you see his faith and you see the things he's saying, and maybe in that very service you're compelled to be the next one to pray because you're strengthened and you're rejoicing and you're thinking, if he prayed, well then I can pray, and you bring also your heart before the Lord. That's what prayer does. It is a communion with the Lord. And if it is a communion with the Lord, it should be a communion with those who love the Lord, among those who know the Lord. And here we see then that prayer, see, why is this important that we even talk about this element, that prayer is a gift that God gives for us to communicate with God, to commune with God? There would be some, in our own humanity, if we were to just start meditating, what is prayer for? Well, many verses, even Jesus says, ask and he will give. He says, knock and I will answer. And you could elaborate a little theology and say, well, prayer is for me to get what I want. There is a place for requesting, and God gives. But you notice I'm not starting with that. Prayer is not primarily for you to simply knock at the gates of heaven and have your will fulfilled. People who use prayer that way, primarily and almost only, they are not communing with God. They're just being consumers with God. And even thinking God is a debtor, as if I deserve these things and God better give it because he promised he would. And I'm a son of the king. He is the king. I am as a prince in his kingdom. I better have what I'm asking. It's materialism, and it's not Christianity. A little quote from one Stanley Jones. He says this: if I throw out a boat hook from the boat and catch hold of the shore and pull, so envision a boat that's adrift, and he casts this hook, grabs the island of the shore of the island, and he pulls. He says, do I pull the shore to me, or do I pull myself to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. And even as we pray and we start in this relationship, our heart starts being interested in this that I'm praying. Lord, is it selfish? Forgive me if it is. And then if you're asking something that has to do with a petition, you always end, and Lord, if it is thy will, not my will. The Lord Jesus himself prayed that. And he teaches us prayer is not about me having what I want, but desiring what God wants. That's what prayer is. It is a gift, the gift of communication. So this, for the essence, just laying some groundwork. And we go to our second point. So now what we're doing is opening this gift. We're as if unwrapping the gift of prayer that God has given. It is a perfect gift. It came from the Father of lights. Think of God as a father giving to his children what we need. and we open this gift, what is it we find in it? And we'll talk now about the contents, or we could call the elements of prayer, or some call it the parts of prayer, very simply. And also in that little book of Isaac Watts, he mentions several parts of prayer. In essence, we're getting all of those and summarizing them into four. The parts that he says, he really breaks them down very minutely. He even calls the invocation of God one of those parts. It's precious that he does break it down, because it makes you stop to think, yes, do I stop to invoke God in any special way from time to time? Or do I just generically say, dear God, every single time? And I don't take time to think of God in perhaps more precise and special ways from time to time. So he gives a little indication of how the invocation's important. And then he says adoration, confession, petition. And he has a whole little portion on pleading, of profession or self-dedication, and thanksgiving and blessing, and even the conclusion is a little part. Well, we can put some of these together, and we will talk first of all of praise. When we say praise, we're putting the invocation, the adoration, and the blessing all together. And then we'll have a little point on thanksgiving, and then on intercession, or we could call that petition. The supplication and the pleading is part of petition. It's just a more intense kind of pleading. And intercession is usually pleading for others. We could put that all under pleading or petition. And then fourthly, confession. And what we hope to do is look at all of these in general, but then we'll look a little bit all of these separately. So first of all, when we open the gift of prayer, which is a gift in itself, we need to realize that those things inside, of course, are gifts. Those are the gifts. All of them together. When you praise God, see, we tend to think of it as me giving to God praise, which of course it is, but I'm giving to Him because He has given to me. If He had not given me the gift of praise, I could not look to heaven in a knowing way, and in a loving way, and in a faithful way to praise Him. And the same thing about all these other parts, the thanksgiving, the intercession, and the confession. These are gifts that God gave. We'll look at each of them in a little brief way. And even as we do so, we need to understand, so this is a gift God gave me, and again, what for? For me to relate to Him. I'm communicating with Him, that's communion. I am relating to God. Keep those two things in mind. We're going to look at praise. See that it's a gift. It's a gift to relate. Confession, etc. We'll see it's a gift and a gift to relate. And notice how this is the testimony of Scripture. It's almost like looking at prayer in a slow motion kind of way. Think of David. Here's an illustration. David is walking in the kingdom of Persia, and he stumbles across the command that no longer men or women or children can pray to any other god, but their requests must be made to King Darius. How does Daniel relate to God when he sees this command? He goes to his home. If the window was already opened, he left it open, or if he opened it, he opened at that moment facing Jerusalem, he prayed. See, he was using the gift God gave him to relate to God based upon something that happened. He did pray all the time, but I'm sure his prayer there had something to do with a command that was there. Maybe a pleading now more than a petition. And maybe in earnest, maybe even confession. Lord, we're here because of our sins. We're reminded of this. We are captive because of what happened in Israel. Forgive us, Lord. Send us back to Jerusalem. Protect us from this mandate. Protect me. I'm praying, and now I'm in danger of being thrown in a lion's den. You see, he was relating to God when he was praying there at the window. And earlier in the life of Daniel, he heard that every wise man was being executed by Nebuchadnezzar because none of them were able to interpret or even tell the king his own dream. What did Daniel do? That was the providence that he was living in. He immediately brought his friends and they had a little prayer meeting. That's how they related to God, based on their providence. They went to prayer. This is how God's people relate to God. They use the gift of prayer and make good use of it. David is being pursued by Saul. That is the providence of God in his life. He goes into a cave, or he flees into the wilderness. At different times, he got the pen and parchment and composed psalms, some of the most precious prayers in the Psalms. See, he was relating to God based upon the providences in his life, these afflictions. And we see it in the life of Moses. We see it in the life of Paul. We see it, of course, even in the life of the Lord Jesus. Relating to the Lord, using the gift of prayer. And so let's start looking at praise. When we praise the Lord, it is a gift from God. And this is why I read that passage. If you have it open there in Zechariah, it said, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. Well, the Lord has given that. He's the one who gave that spirit of supplication. And you would say, well, what about praise? Is that part of the gift that God gave us? Yes, it is. You find elsewhere in Isaiah 61:3, and I'll just read it. It says there, he says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. See, when God gave and poured forth that spirit of supplication, it wasn't so that prayer you only supplicate. That has a context. It has to do, and we'll go back there, about looking upon him whom you have pierced. But in other places, you find the Lord pouring and giving oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise. Have you ever thought of praise that way? When you open the psalter and you're about to sing, it's not that only that you're giving to the Lord your praise, but you're making use of the gift he gave you to praise him. The focus becomes now the reality that this channel you're using is not really your idea. It's not originally your gift to the Lord. It is his gift to you, the gift of praise. And think of this. You relate through that gift. You learn who God is. You learn of his majesty. You learn of his sovereignty. You learn of his wisdom. You learn of his goodness. How do you relate? You praise him. And this is where the blessing is. And this is where you see people who do not know the Lord. They kind of stall at this moment. You hear atheists even arguing with Christians that the wonder and the majesty that they see in the sky, you don't need to ascribe any kind of glory to any God for that. You can simply be in awe. You can simply be amazed. But you notice, you can even see the cry of voidness in their hearts. What are you amazed about? What are you really in awe of? When you think this majesty and this glory, and if in your heart you really think it's just chaos that brought this, it is just chance that brought this, there's a nothingness to that awe. It is really a deceptive kind of awe. It is a wonder that lacks something for its fulfillment. And it doesn't have to be that way, because there is a venue, and the venue is praise. See, when our hearts do see the majesty of God, there is something in the heart of man, something, who do I go to thank him for all of this? And if you don't know the Lord, there's this sense of lostness. There's a sense of there's no conclusion. I can't get there. But when you know the Lord, you have what to do. You render praise. You sing even. You rejoice. And you join together and just sing as a body unto the Lord. We are connecting the dots here. We see who God is, and we look to the heavens. It declares His glory. And with this gift of praise, we're able to give an expression to the awe that builds inside. We have words to the awe that is built in our hearts. This is His gift to you. And of course, you can see how immediately it means you're relating to God. You're responding to Him. There's a sadness when people cannot relate that way. There's a void. There's a sense of how can I connect these things? And I can't. I'll go secondly to the second point of thanksgiving, which is very connected to praise. Don't you sense this? When it's time for thanksgiving, and the world has to use that name to some degree, it's so traditional, but you hear of how those who do not think of thanksgiving in a spiritual sense, and that we're thanking the Lord, they have that horizontal line of thanksgiving, that we're thanking one another. But ultimately, if I'm thanking for my parents for caring for me, fine, but I must go beyond my parents for my being in this world. Who do I thank then? And you'll hear people speak very generically, just saying, be thankful, just be grateful. But they don't really tell you who to give that thanks to. And you sense the same thing as with the praise. They don't have that gift of thanksgiving to God, so they can't go that far. And what you feel building up in their hearts is a sense of lack, a sense of a void. And it's just thanking for the food, and thanking for the person who cooked it, and thanking for the people who are making us have a good time, and for the things that go beyond all of those that you can thank. It's just be thankful in this generic, amorphous way. And there's no joy in that. Thanksgiving is a gift that God gave you, where you can go to the very giver of all those things and give Him thanks. And that's even how we celebrate Thanksgiving, isn't it? When you do look at your mom and say, Mom, this Thanksgiving, I'm thankful for you. You've blessed us. You've helped us. You serve us all the time. But in your heart, you know, even when you don't say it every single time, you know that you're thankful to God for your mother. And we are to say it many times. I thank God for you, Mom. I thank God for you, Dad. And as parents, I thank God for all of you, children. He's the one who provided you to us. We always go to the source. And doesn't it give us a sense of what's the word? It gives us a sense of fulfillment, a sense of completion, because it's God giving us a gift and we're using it. We're making use of the gift of thanksgiving. And one thing about thanksgiving that has a distance, not a distance, but a difference from praise, is the personal nature to many things of thanksgiving. When we look at it in this dimension, we praise God based on the things we do know about God. But even things we don't experience from God directly, we read in the Word and we praise Him anyway. But thanksgiving often has to do with the things that touch you very personally, that is in the realm of what you know. There's a personal nature to thanksgiving, an intimate nature. And this is what I mean. I know that you have never thanked anyone, and even God, for a meal that you never ate. It's just a truism. No one has given thanks for a present they have never received. You don't thank a person that you don't know. You don't give thanks for a present that no one gave you. Thanksgiving doesn't exist in the realm of the unknown. Thanksgiving only exists in that which you can touch, even if it's through faith. And you've heard the story of Scripture about Jesus healing the woman with the issue of blood, and you thank the Lord for that. But you thank Him because you've read about it, and you experience the reality of that truth. That's what thanksgiving is. And it's in that sense, again, that it's a gift to us. The Lord gives us the gift of the experience of these truths and of these happenings in life, where someone gives you a gift and you look at the gift, you look at the person, and then there's this personal nature where you can thank the person for that gift. And when you do that, just always remember that you're using the gift of thanksgiving. It's part of prayer. It's what God has given you. And immediately, we tie in that word of response. You're responding to God with thanksgiving. And it's just a precious thought to think. Again, I'm giving thanks to God, but it's not something that originates in my heart. I'm using a gift of God to give my gratitude to God. And when you do so, you are relating to Him. And we have to put these things together. This is an important portion of thanksgiving. We are to give thanks for things that we can't give thanks for things that we have never received, because it's an unknown world. But we do have to give thanks for things that we never even asked for. And have you stopped to realize, if you really think and quantify, most of the things we are to give thanks for are things we've never asked the Lord for. And what I'm meaning here is this, just this thinking in terms of the reality of what we live. Not a single one of us also ever prayed that God would create us, that this world would be made, and that it would have the things it has. But God gave them to you anyway, and so we give Him thanks. And the same can be seen in the realm of the spiritual, for our spiritual lives. Not a single soul has looked to God and say, "Would Thou give us Thy Son to be my Redeemer, Lord, and Savior?" That prayer could never have been made by us if we had not heard the gospel. There is a Savior. He is the Son of God. Ask and He shall give you. Go to Him for forgiveness. If you pray for forgiveness, it's because you heard the message. But none of us pray, "Lord, would You make salvation this way?" And guess what? God made salvation that way. And none of us gave Him the idea. Most of the things you have, you've never even asked for. That's how bountiful God is in giving, and how we should use that gift to render Him thanks. But then, of course, there are the things that we have received because we have asked. And that becomes very personal to us. I would encourage everyone here, maybe you do this already, where you have a little journal of prayer, where specific things that people are relating to you, and you would jot that down and what you're praying for in specific ways. Put the date, and you'll be surprised years later when you go through those lists how many things are being answered. There are prayer requests you forget, and we tend to think He's not answering them very specifically, but it's more because we lose count and we forget. And as we grow older, we look upon those lists, even if they're in the mental list, and stop to consider, what are the things I've prayed for through the years? And you'll find salvation, people saved. You'll find people healed. You'll find people who regained their jobs that they lost. You'll find young people who finished their college degree. They did end. They did find a job. People who lost their job, who regained their jobs, and accidents that happened and the Lord preserved. Make those lists. The Lord answers prayers that we do ask. Be thankful for the things we never ask. And then the important thing to connect all this is this. The things we never ask for that God gives, and the things we ask for that God gives, all have one thing in common. He's giving all of those things to people who don't deserve any of them. Not a single thing we pray for that the Lord gives, and not a single thing that we receive even when we don't pray, we receive out of merit. It is always out of grace. And the reason I think it's important to make this connection is because of this reality. This world has seen a man who deserved everything he asked for. And he was in his person in the world. And this world was created out of his power and intent. I'm thinking of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into a world that was created, and he's the one who created the world. And as a human, he received a father. He received a mother. Those were gifts from God the Father to God the Son in his human flesh. Like I mentioned, there's a verse where Christ relates to his humanity as his darling. It was a gift from the Father to him, a human flesh. And the Lord Jesus deserved every gift he received. But why did he receive his body? Why did he receive his body? Why did he receive a human soul? Even his soul was a gift that he received. He received these gifts to sacrifice, to be a sacrifice for sinners, to give all that he received to those who didn't deserve receiving anything. You notice this great contrast. Here's Jesus. He deserves everything he prays for. And God gives him. And he uses those things for those who don't deserve anything. And ultimately, what he received as a gift from the Father was a wooden cross. You can think of a cross as what was given to Jesus. Humanly speaking, an unwanted gift. But divinely and spiritually speaking, even Jesus desired that gift. When Jesus in Gethsemane said, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done," he was saying, "I want thy will. And if it is a cross and nails to fasten me to it, may that be the gift to me." The Lord Jesus received the cross as a gift, the nails, the many mocking of all those people. The scourges were things he received. The crown of thorns it was a gift to the Lord Jesus. The company of those two thieves, he had a present of a thief on the right and a thief on the left. He had this gift placed upon him that was his accusation that he was the king of the Jews to further mock him. And then he received of the Father the darkness of the Son and the wrath of God. That's what Jesus received. Those were his gifts. So that he could be the unspeakable gift to all of us who don't deserve any of the gifts. See, would you use thanksgiving to then return to him the praise and the thanks that he is worthy to receive? See, the same thing I could say about petition, and I'll be very brief here. We ask God, and he gives. But see, our asking is a gift in itself. And here, perhaps it's where we see more than all of these how truly asking is a gift. It is through asking that he gives other gifts. We use the gift of asking, and he gives us other gifts. When the Lord Jesus said, "Ask of me," and he said, "Ask the Father, and he shall give," he was literally giving us a gift that keeps on giving. A gift like none that this world has ever known. And when you receive certain gifts, if they are unbreakable because they're metal, they might still rust. Even if they are silver, they get oxidized. The gifts in this world don't have lasting power. And if they're too valuable, they may even be stolen. But the gift of prayer, you think of petition, is a never-ceasing giving gift. And think also of it as your relationship to God. What are we relating to? We've learned that God is almighty. and powerful, and we learn that he is loving. We put those two attributes together. In a summary, it's those two attributes that make us raise our eyes to heaven and say, Lord, please help me. And you make your petitions because you know he's powerful to do it, and you know he's loving to care. If he was only powerful, you would wonder if he's willing. And if he was only loving, what use would it be to ask what he does not have the power to give? But you know those two things, and so then you relate to him. You see, Lord, since I know thou art powerful and loving, well, then I come with my petition. Heal this dear person that I love. Lord, give him the health that he needs. And Lord, look at this problem. Please help. Give guidance. Give counsel. You're relating to God with petition. And lastly, confession. And I'll just start here and continue Wednesday, Lord willing, in our prayer service, because we're right here on confession. But I just want to start. Confession, beloved, if you stop to think, you open that box and you brought down praise and you think, now I know God is great, now I can glorify him for it. And you see that he's powerful and loving, and so you see that there is petition. So you ask God those needs that you have, and we looked at thanksgiving, but now you pull out confession. And beloved, why is that a precious gift? Because there's another reality here in this world. Our hearts are full of sin. We are desperately wicked in our own nature. We've been seeing through the canons of Dort, if we do not have the Spirit, we are dead in our sins and trespasses. We desperately need the gift of confession, because it's with that gift that we look to heaven also. And maybe even with our hearts down, we can't look anymore. We're thinking of our sin and we're saying, Lord, I have sinned. I have lied. I have stolen. I have disrespected my mom. I have cheated in my test. I have done evil. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. Pardon me. You're making use of the gift God gave you that is like a channel that leads you from the depths of depravity to the very cross of Christ, where we read this morning, or actually we read now, in that last verse that we read in Zechariah in chapter 13, verse 1, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. This is the passage that said he'll pour forth this, there's this torrent that's given forth the grace and supplication. What do you use that supplication for? As you look upon him whom you have pierced and you mourn like no other mourning has ever been, it's not just to lead you to despair, it's to give your confessions to the Lord. I'm guilty of the crucified Christ. It was my sins that tied him to the tree. You've perhaps heard that Puritan quote, I think it was a Puritan, who said, if he had not been there with nails, my sin would keep him there. His love for me would keep him there because of my sins. There's a fountain open for our sins. And it is confession that connects that. Those who do not receive this gift, they can't confess. They don't want to own their sins. They don't want to say that they're sinners. Even if they're given, as it were, this gift and say, listen, if you call unto the Lord and confess your sins, I've had people tell me right in my face, I don't need to confess anything. No, thank you. I don't want this gift. See, the problem is with the person who receives this gift, they don't want to use it. They have nothing to confess. They want to own the fact that they're needing to confess their sins to God, that they're guilty for the death of Christ. But they're the ones missing out, because when you do, this fountain for sin means you are cleansed, you are pardoned, you are washed.
And think, beloved, again, okay, so I'm using this gift to God, and isn't this how I relate to God? I see He's powerful to forgive my sins. I see He's loving, and in His love, He's even merciful and gracious, which means I don't deserve any of this, but He gives it anyway. He gives it because of His great love, not my great merit. I don't deserve it. And in a sense, that's what qualifies me. I'm acknowledging, no, Lord, there's nothing for me to do that my sins can be washed away. And I trust who Thou art. And I'm relating to Him through confession. And what does confession do? It makes this relationship unbreakable. Every time I sin, I ask forgiveness and I'm cleansed. The relationship is there. All these gifts because of the giver. I just want to end with our third point, the giver. The giver of the gift of prayer is God. It is He who gives us praise. It is He who gives us thanksgiving, who gives us petition, who gives us confession. And you see what God is doing with all this. I want to hear You speak to me. I want to hear Your praises. I want to hear Your thanksgiving, Your petitions. And I will give as a father what you need. And I want to hear Your confessions. And what does God give? He gives forgiveness and cleansing. And the proof is He's given His Son. It's through Him that He gives all of this. The one who was given a body and was given a soul, but was given a cross. And with that cross, He gives His life to all who don't deserve it, but who will look upon Him in faith. Will you use the gift of prayer? And what should the unbeliever do? Isn't it prayer? That he would see prayer and look to heaven and say, Lord, I'm foreign to this. I know I've never trusted as I should. I know I haven't repented as I should. But in this prayer, I want to say this. Save me. Forgive me. Cleanse me. I am a sinner. When you're praying for salvation, what are you doing but making use of the gift? And even as you're making use of that gift, and some of the parts, God is so gracious, our faith might be so little that we don't dare touch the gift of praise, thinking, who am I to praise God? I have so much to confess. Fine, don't use that gift right now, but keep handling that gift of confession and use it and use it and use it. And you'll see the Lord will then open your lips to say, Lord, I praise Thee for the forgiveness that I experience from Thee. And when you're doing that, it's like reaching to the place in the box where you see praise and you say, I will use it. And I will use it with thanksgiving. I'll go now to the person who shared the gospel with me. My mom who's been praying for me. And I'm going to thank her for the years praying for my soul. And you're using these gifts that God gave you. Don't despair if you're not saved. Use the gift of prayer. The giver is the one who matters. Keep your eyes focused upon Him. We saw this morning, call upon Him. And there will be deliverance. And that day there will be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. May God bless us as we thank Him for the gift of prayer, as we use it and as we relate to Him with it, in our homes, in our prayer services, in our congregational meetings and worship services, that we would pray without ceasing. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious and glorious God and Father, how we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast given us this gift, that we can relate to Thee, Lord, and not only relate and communicating in a general way, but that we may praise Thee and that we may thank Thee for specific things, that we may also have our petitions. And this, Lord, is why we pray for people we love and people we know, and even our own needs, we bring them before Thee. And Lord, also our confessions. And
And certainly, Lord, these are so much easier to be done in the secret, in the closets of our hearts. But help us, Lord, to do it. Help us to name our sins to Thee. Help us to be brave and bold and sincere, that we would not hide that we have committed sins and what they are. And as we make use of this very gift, that we may feel, Lord, from Thee, the acceptance, the cleansing, the forgiveness. And Lord, we thank Thee and pray, help us even as a congregation to value prayer. Lord, embolden us in praying. Help us to shift even our schedule around that we may be together in times of prayer. Help us to never judge harshly those who simply cannot make it. We understand, Lord, that in our providences it may be impossible. But Lord, we pray that Thou would help us to, in our willingness, make what can be possible, possible. Because we want to share this gift together with the giver, even Thou, O God and Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.